Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Ascend Church. Everybody stand up with us, please. Get ready to worship the Lord. Put your hands together if you feel it.
You, even the ones you don't know. God, we give you praise this morning. We worship you, God. Hallelujah. And I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. And man's empty praise, treasures of faith were never enough. But you came along and put me back together. And now every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. And I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you see them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley.
To God.
thank you that we serve a God who is so good.
Sing along with me to
He
Waymaker.
Makes a way.
Yes, He does. Sing along with me if you can. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, oh, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, oh, yeah. I worship you. Sing along. I worship you. Here we go. Waymaker. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. See you. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop.
Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you. You're the way maker. You're the promise keeper. You're the miracle worker. You're the light in the darkness. Can you say amen, somebody? Can somebody shout amen?
Amen.
Come on, put your hands together. Give the Lord a big praise. Give him a shout. Give him a shout of praise. Clap your hands today. And we magnify you, Lord. We worship you. We bless your holy name. You know, last Sunday I spoke about the shout of the king. Not the shout of the king. That's the song. I spoke about the shout of praise. And I didn't get through all of my scriptures. And this one scripture just keeps staying with me. And, you know, David said this. David said, 7 times a day I shout praises to the Lord. 7 times a day. Think about that. 7 times a day. 7 times a day, he's shouting praise to the Most High God. 7 times a day. I wonder what would happen if we shouted praise 7 times a day. Amen. Well, praise God. That's good singing. Good. I love that, man. Wasn't that good? I love that new song, Gardens to Graves. We're glad to have Graves to Gardens. Excuse me. Just testing, see if you're listening. We're glad to have Monique visiting with us today. Monique led worship here for us for a number of years, and now she's in North Carolina, and she's at the Elevation Church, and she's on their team. And so we get to do songs that haven't hardly been released yet. But that was great. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. This is when we have our prayer and our praise time. And President Trump has declared today a national day of prayer. And I believe that's a good thing that he did. And how many of you believe there's power in prayer?
Yes.
1, 2. There's power in prayer. Pam Sayegh gave me this, didn't give it to me, loaned it to me. This book called Miracles in American History. It's 32 amazing stories of answered prayer. Presidents that called for a day of prayer, going way back to the American Revolution and the First World War and the Second World War, and astronauts that were lost in space, 13 of them, and they called for prayer. And 13 amazing miracles that happened when America, God's people in America, prayed. And how many of you know that the Lord has not changed? He's just as powerful today as he was yesterday. You know, I don't know about you, but I actually believe the Bible. And I think you do too, because you're here today. So you must believe the Bible. You're here today. A lot of churches are canceled today. I said to them, you'll have to handcuff me and put me in prison to stop me getting up here and preaching. I mean, you will have to handcuff me and put me in prison. I don't close church because you suggest it. I don't close church because it's a good idea. I'm here, man. Do you remember in the book of Acts when they closed the church down because there was a, a big outbreak of leprosy. Do you remember that? No, it never happened. That's why you don't remember. It never happened. This is where the power of God is. This is the safest place to be right now, is here in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And so we want to pray. We're going to pray for America. And we're going to pray. And we're going to stand against this virus. The Bible says, Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And he said, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. There's power in prayer. The scripture tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 in verse number 14, the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Thank God Jesus is the healer. Amen. And so I want us to pray. Will you pray and believe God with me? Because you know the Bible says that one person will put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. The Bible says if any two on earth will agree concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by our Father in heaven. There's power when believers come together and agree in prayer. Let me tell you, that is powerful. The scripture says in James chapter 5, it says, the fervent prayer, the earnest prayer of a righteous person accomplishes great things, makes great power available. So let's pray today, okay? Say, I want to lead you, and I want you to pray this prayer with me. You can carry on, Rick, with a little bit of the keys there. So I want you to say this with me. Say, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We lift up this nation. We pray for America. We thank you, Lord. Jesus, you are Lord over America. And we thank you, Lord, for protecting and blessing and guiding America. We pray, Lord, we stand against this virus. You said whatever we bind on earth, it will be bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth, it will be loosed in heaven. We bind this coronavirus. We speak to you and we command you to dissipate. We curse you in the name of Jesus. And we release the healing power of God to flow across this nation. Father, we thank you that this disease is dissipated, that it is deteriorating, that we curse it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for revival spreading across this, around the world, Father. We thank you, Lord. We ask you, Father, to stretch forth your hand to heal the land, to heal in the name of Jesus. We pray for other nations. Lord, we pray you'd help them. We pray your healing power would fall down in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, we look to you. Our trust is in you. We thank you, Lord, for your angels that protect us, and that no plague can come near my dwelling. 1,000 may fall by my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me, because he has given his angels charge over me, and they protect me in all of my ways. The Lord is my refuge. He is my fortress, and he is my place of safety. I will not fear. The Lord is with me. What can stand against me? The Lord is on my side. Who can be against me? No weapon formed against me will ever prosper. This is my heritage as a child of the Most High God. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me healthy, for protecting me and my family. Thank you for healing this nation. Thank you, this disease stops in the name of Jesus. Supernaturally, we come against every demonic spirit of illness, and we bind your every effort in Jesus' name. Lord, we praise you today. We thank you that you're the healer. Come on, give God praise. Clap your hands. Say, Lord, we thank you that you're the healer today. We worship you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As we sing this final song, I'm going to ask our prayer team leaders to come up here. And I'm going to ask if you need prayer, let me tell you, you're in the right place. Jesus said, my house will be called the house of prayer. And I want you to know that we pray because we know that God hears and answers our prayer. We pray because when we pray, miracles happen. I went to pray for someone in the hospital on Friday, Palm Beach Gardens Hospital. Rosie, you here today? No? So it was amazing to me, you know. Because people call me, haven't been to church three, four, 5 years. They call me up, can you come pray for my dad? I'm there. I'll see you Sunday. See you Sunday. I went to the hospital, Palm Beach Gardens, to pray for a gentleman who had heart surgery. He had a whole lot of different things going on and a whole lot of complications. And he said to his daughter, ask Pastor Steve to come pray for me. Because the last time he came to pray for me, I was healed. Ask him to come pray for me. So I went in the hospital and I was waiting. I was waiting at the where you check in, and I was waiting for his daughter who was going to take me through. And I just happened to cough. Just maybe I cleared my throat. And the lady working there, she was like, do you need a mask? Do you need a mask? You coughed. I said, no, I don't need a mask. I'm not sick. I'm here to pray for people to be healed. That's what I'm here. I'm here to pray for people to be healed. Amen. Amen. So I want to ask you, if you need prayer, we believe that our God is a God of miracles. Our God is still in the miracle working business. And he said, if you call upon me, I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things. He said, Jesus said, those who believe in my name, they will lay hands on those who are sick and they will be healed in my name. Amen. Listen, we have the cure and we have the antidote. No matter what the problem, no matter what the sickness, Jesus is the healer. Isn't that right? I didn't see Jesus now. I'm not trying to get on anyone. You know, if you want to wear a mask, fine, do whatever. But I never saw Jesus praying with a mask on for somebody. Did you ever see Jesus pray with a mask on, with gloves on? No. Praise God. Say, I am immune.
I am immune.
To all sickness.
I am immune.
Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he's giving life to my mortal body. Amen. I want us to sing one more time our last song. It's called The Blessing. You might have heard it. It's all over social media, this new song. You heard it? The Blessing? Well, it's out of Elevation Church. It's just like a week old, I think. And everyone's singing this song. And so we're going to sing. Thank God. Say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Say, I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. I am blessed by God. Amen. Let's worship him. If you need prayer, come right now. We'll pray for you. Whatever it is you need, we'll
I had to learn the song and practice the song. And I love the song. It was so beautiful because like Pastor Jill said, it's all scripture. But then when I was in service, I felt the Holy Spirit say, now that you know it, open up your hands and receive it. So this morning, I encourage you, as we sing it, don't let this just be a song. Receive this blessing because this is the word of God over your life, over every situation. Amen. Agree with heaven this morning. Sing amen. Some declarations in this place over ourselves. We're going to speak the word over our lives this morning, over our children's children's children, unto 1,000 generations. Hallelujah. We receive your word this morning, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
His favor be upon you in 1,000 generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you in 1,000 generations, and your family, and your children, and your children, and their children.
That's a blessing from the Word of God, that it'll be not just as you stand here today and you honor God and you put Him first, you're not just representing yourself, you're representing those in your family, you're representing your children and generations to come. Who knows? The blessing from for 1,000 generations. I receive that. How about you? Say, I receive that. A blessing upon my life. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. Take 60 seconds, greet someone, tell them it's good to see them. Welcome to church this morning. Welcome to Ascend Church. We're so glad you're here with us. It's a time for us to gather, to worship, to pray. I love that it's a national day of prayer. How about you? President Trump was tuning in to Jensen Franklin's service at 11 a.m., and they were going to pray over the nation. So I just love that, and I love that we as a church family can join together and be a part of that. Amen. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're glad you participating in the service, and I'm glad we actually have church today. There's a lot of online services, but I like to be in the house of God. Amen. And just welcome to each and every one of you. If you are visiting for the first time, we'd like to just honor you. We'd like to give you a visitor pack right where you're sitting, and we don't want to embarrass you in any way. But if you are here for the first time, we'd like to just ask our ushers would like to just identify you. Would you mind just waving your hand that God bless you? Come on, ushers, you got to be on the ball here. We just wave your hand. Let's welcome them like we mean it. Come on. Come on. Clap again. Clap. That's what. I know you mean it, but it's got to sound like it, right? And so if you are here and you're visiting and you have that visitor pack, we ask you to just take a moment. There's a card, a white card that says guest. If you just fill that out, we pass an offering bucket at the end of the service, and you can just drop it in. Pastor Steve loves to call and just speak to our visitors and just see if there's anything we can pray for you or any help we can be to you. So thank you for that. And welcome, Candace. We have our pastor. We were in Johannesburg, South Africa for many years. And with Pastor Theo and Bev, and we often talk about them. And they had two daughters the same time we had our first two daughters. And they've remained friends, and she's visiting. So welcome her this morning. It's good. Praise God. Well, I just want to remind you that the four purposes of our church, should be able to quote them by now. But the first one is we want to help you to know God better than you do already. Second of all, to help you find freedom in every area of your life. Thirdly, to discover your purpose. And fourth, to make a difference in this world. Amen. So thank you, Pastor. We're ready for you. You always seem surprised.
Praise the Lord.
Even the talking to you.
When we get at home, you can't stop talking. You get up on the stage and you over so fast.
He's such a fibber. Don't believe him. You know.
Praise God. Well, listen, I want to ask, first of all, the second row. I hate to see an empty row of chairs like that. Can I ask people that are at the back or somewhere else? Ushers, we always want to fill from the front back. I mean, from the forward front. So, from the front to the back. So, if you're sitting at the back, would you fill up that second row for me? And here, I don't like to have bags on the front row. And this is, I want people in every single chair. Do you understand? Because we're going online and all they're looking at is empty chairs. They don't know you're all sitting behind the camera at the back. So, fill from the front back. I appreciate that. Plus, the closer you get, the more powerful the anointing is, the closer you get. I'm joking. Anyway, but we do want to welcome, though, everyone who's watching us online today. We're glad for everyone who's here. We're glad for everyone who can watch online. Thank God for technology. Isn't that right? But anyway, so we're glad that you're watching. And are you ready for God's word this morning? Say, I am ready. Well, I want to speak to you this morning about divine protection. And let's just pray one more time before we get into God's word. Father, thank you today that as we gather here in the name of Jesus, that you are here in our midst. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, the prophet said, whose report will you believe? And we say, we will believe the report of the Lord. Our eyes are upon you, Father. And I thank you today for your word that brings us hope, that brings us faith, that brings us healing. Lord, in Proverbs chapter 4, it says that as we look into your word, as we keep it before our eyes, that your word is healing to our flesh. Thank you that you are our healer and our protector today, Lord. And I thank you for filling our hearts with faith today. May we walk out of here knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that we have divine protection in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what I'm speaking about, divine protection, not living in fear. I don't have to tell you what's going on right now, but, you know, we hear so much about terror threats and violence in our schools and how our cities are becoming less safe. And, I mean, if you watch the news, and you know, you'll see all kinds of troubling things that are going on, shootings, accidents, kidnappings. It's so easy to go around in fear rather than in faith. Worried about our children or worried about even driving on the freeways or worried about our protection. Right now, we're hearing about the coronavirus and, you know, of course, a lot of people panicking about it. It's in every nation of the world and I'm not sure. The last time I checked, about 5,000 people had died, but people are panicking and the stock market lost $3 trillion in a week or two and travel from Europe has been suspended to the United States for 30 days. And I don't have to tell you all these things that are going on. I want you to know that God will protect you. Do not fear, only believe. And one reason that we give in, that we worry and we give in to fear is because we forget sometimes that we are not alone. That the moment that you were born, God assigned an angel to watch over you. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, he said, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven, their angels are always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus was talking about children, and he was talking about not treating them badly. He said, don't you know that their angels are always seeing the face of my Father? When you were born, God assigned an angel to protect you. He assigned one of these powerful warriors to guard you. You have a secret agent with you wherever you go. That's what it says in Psalm 91. Psalm 91 says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. I trust in him, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. Now, is that still true today? Can God still protect us from every deadly disease today? It says he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night or the arrow that flies by the day. It says, do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 may fall at your side, and although 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up in their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. If you will trample upon lions and cobras, you will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. It says, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them. I will honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. That's good news, isn't it? Isn't that good news? I love it, man. I want to read a little bit of that, not the whole thing, but I want to read just a little bit from the Passion Translation, because it just uses a slightly different language, and I just love the way that it reads. From verse 5, it says, You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing. Don't fear a thing. Whether by day or whether by night, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil launched against you. Even in a time of disaster, with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed. You will remain unharmed. When we live our lives within the shadow of the Most High God, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. We will always be shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us? How can disease infect us? God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you, and they'll keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here is what the Lord has spoken to me: because you have delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence even in your time of pressure and trouble. I will be your glorious hero and give you a feast. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you, for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. Let me tell you, the fullness of your salvation, some people think being saved is that, praise God, I'm going to heaven. And of course, that's true. But the fullness of your salvation is God protects you while you're here on the earth. The angels of God protect you. We do not have to fear for anything. Amen? Let me tell you, if you will honor God, keep God first, if we will trust him and do our best to please him, then we will always have his supernatural protection. We are not alone. We have angels around us wherever we go. What do angels do? The Bible says they are messengers of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 1 verse 14, are not the angels all ministering spirits sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation? Do you know that angels have been sent here to assist you? Because aren't we the ones inheriting salvation? Angels have been sent to assist you. The Living Bible says it like this: the angels are only spirit messengers sent out to help and care for those who are to receive his salvation. Now, all through the Bible, we see how angels appeared and gave a person wisdom, gave a person instruction, told them what to do. We see how angels delivered people from danger, closed the mouths of lions, fought for God's people, opened prison doors, delivered people supernaturally. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles are arrested. They're placed in chains. They're thrown into jail. But the scripture says in Acts 5:19, but during the night, the Lord sent an angel who appeared before them. He supernaturally opened their prison doors and he brought the apostles outside. And the angel said, go, stand in the temple courts and preach the words that bring life. You know what's amazing to me? They were arrested for preaching. The angel comes and delivers them, says, go and keep on preaching. In Acts chapter 12, King Herod had the apostle James, that's John's brother, he had James beheaded, had his head cut off. Then he arrested Peter, and he intended to execute Peter the next day. And the Bible says the church prayed constantly for Peter. And they prayed earnestly for Peter. And they asked God to free him. It's amazing to me that with all that's going on, we have prayer on Tuesday night and only about 5% of our church even come to prayer. Thanks for the great... It's the truth. Prayer releases angels. When Peter was arrested, the church prayed. What happened to Peter? The Bible says in Acts 12:5, earnest prayer was going up to God from the church for his safety all the time he was in prison. The night before he was about to be executed, he was asleep. There's a whole sermon in that right there. Would you be sleeping the night before you got executed? If you had faith in God like Peter, you would be. It says he was asleep, double chained between two soldiers with others standing guard before the prison gate. And it says, suddenly there was a light in the cell and an angel of the Lord stood beside Peter. The angel slapped him on the side to wake him up and said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off of his wrists. And then the angel said, get dressed, put on your shoes. And he did. And he said, put on your coat and follow me, the angel said. So Peter left the cell following the angel. But all the time he thought it was a dream. He thought it was a vision. He didn't believe it was really happening. They passed the first and the second cell block. They came to the iron gate that went to the street. It opened to them of its own accord. So they passed through and they walked along together for a block. And then the angel left him, disappeared. Let me tell you, angels are the ones who carry out God's commands. In Daniel, it says that when Daniel prayed, God immediately dispatched the angel to bring the answer. If you could see into the unseen realm right now, you'd see all these powerful, warring angels at work on our behalf. You'd see in this room right now, there are angels of God all around this room right now, because you're in this room. That's why. And when you go out, the angels go out with you. When you go home, the angel goes with you. I'm convinced if we really understood what was going on around us, we'd have a lot more peace. We wouldn't worry as much. A lot of times in pictures, you know, we see these images of angels where they're depicted. Angels like little fat, little chubby, dainty creatures floating around on clouds, playing the harp or shooting little arrows. Let me tell you, that's not what angels look like. If you study the scripture, the Bible, you'll see that angels are incredibly strong, powerful, mighty warriors. In fact, in the Old Testament, one angel killed 185,000 of the enemies, of the armies of God. One angel destroyed 185,000 men. These are powerful creatures created by God. In fact, almost every time in the Bible when an angel would appear to someone, the first thing they said was, don't be afraid. That's not the first thing they said. They had to calm the person down. Because let me tell you, they are an intimidating sight. They are big. They are majestic. They're clothed in armor. They've got a sword drawn. They've got a shield. They're constantly on guard. They're carrying out God's commands, his messengers, his warriors. I mean, you think about a president or a world leader. They have secret service, you know. They watch them like hawks. They watch them everywhere they go, everything they do. They're constantly making sure the president or the prime minister, making sure that he's okay, that he's safe. Well, let me tell you right now, he's got the secret service protecting him, but you and I have got secret agents assigned by Almighty God. They're called angels, and not only do these angels protect us and defend us, but they're here to assist us as well. Sometimes angels can appear without you even realizing it. Do you know the Bible says angels can appear and you could entertain an angel and maybe you didn't even realize it, because they can appear as human. It says that in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 2. It says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Angels can appear to look just like a person. I'm convinced that we've gotten some good breaks and people gone out of their way to help us, and we didn't realize it was the angel of the Lord. I heard this amazing story about a well-respected neurologist. And one night, after a long day at the office, he'd gone to bed and there was a knock on the door. He opened it to find a young girl, a small girl, and she was upset. She was crying. She told that her mother was very ill and needed his help. And so although it was a cold, snowy night and he was tired, he couldn't refuse this little girl. So he followed her home and he discovered that her mother had a serious case of the pneumonia. And he made arrangements to get her to the hospital. And, you know, as the mother was leaving, he complimented her on her daughter's intelligence and her daughter's determination. And she kind of looked at him a little strange. And she said, what are you talking about? My daughter passed away over a month ago. And the doctor was confused. The lady said, you can go check her closet, her shoes, her coat still hanging up. And the doctor did. He found the exact shoes and the exact coat that little girl had been wearing, but they were perfectly dry. You know, they hadn't been anywhere. What was it? I believe it was an angel of the Lord dressed to appear like her daughter. It was God dispatching an angel to take care of one of his children. Let me tell you, God is watching over you. He's commanded his angel to take care of you, to guard you, and to assist you. Amen. How many times have things gone our way? We didn't even realize it was the hand of God. It was the angel of the Lord. When Jill told you, we were living in Johannesburg many years ago. I was working for Pastor Theo, and we were actually looking after their house. We were taking care of the kids. We were looking after you, Candace. You're about 2 years old. Let me tell you, you were a handful when you were 2 years old. You draw, the two of them, they draw with crayon down the wall. Anyway, and so we were looking after them. We were looking after the house, and Pastor Jill, she was leading the daily. At that time they had a daily prayer meeting every day, Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. And Jill said she'd lead the prayer meeting while Pastor Bev was away. So she was also driving Pastor Bev's car. And then she was on her way to the prayer meeting. She ran out of gas. It was like before 5 a.m. in the morning. It was dark, deserted in an industrial area. I don't know if you've heard, but Johannesburg is very dangerous. One of the most dangerous places in all the world. One of the top 10 cities in the world of danger. It's very dangerous. And suddenly this car stopped and the driver got out. He was a very well-dressed man. And he asked Jill if she needed any help. And she said, she told him she'd run out of gas and she needed to get to this prayer meeting. And he said, oh, that's okay. I'm going there. I'll give you a ride. And so only about 50 people attended that prayer meeting. And Jill knew them all because she went there every morning. And she'd never seen this man before. So he got her to the church on time. He stayed and prayed for the hour. Then he left, and we never saw him again. Never saw that man again. I believe it was an angel of the Lord. I don't have a hard time believing that was an angel of the Lord. God's watching. Say, God's watching over me. Say, the angels protect me. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to go around worried about your children, worried about your safety, worried about your future. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, do not yield to fear, for I am always near. Never turn your gaze from me, for I am your faithful God. I will infuse you with my strength and help you in every situation. I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand. The Amplified Bible says, fear not. There is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around in terror. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand. Amen. You know, you've got to look at what you're looking at. This is not a good time to go watch the movie Contagion over and over and over again. But let's go watch Contagion over and over and over again. No, read your Bible. The angel of the Lord is protecting me. Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, thus says the Lord, who created and who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Psalm 23 verse 4, even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guarding me and guiding me all the way. Joshua 1 verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be dismayed. Do not be intimidated, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I am not afraid. I am not intimidated. Why? Because God is with me everywhere I go. Psalm 27 verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. Why should I tremble? Why do I need to be afraid? I don't have to be afraid because the Lord is my protector. Mark 5 verse 36, the Bible says as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, what was the word that was spoken? Well, the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus was his name. He asked Jesus to come pray for his little girl. She was at the point of death. And as Jesus was on his way, he was delayed by another person who came for prayer. And they came and they said, don't worry, Jesus doesn't need to come to your house anymore because your little girl already died. She died. And Jesus said, he heard what was spoken, but he said to the ruler, do not be afraid. Only believe. Do not be afraid. Only believe. I want to tell you right now, don't be afraid. Only believe. Believe what God says. Believe the word of God. Amen. Now listen, you be wise. Use common sense. Take precautions. Wash your hands. I mean, I wash my hands all the time anyway. I mean, I go to the gym. I come home. I wash my hands. I come to the church. I shake all your hands. I go home. I wash my hands. I don't know where your hands have been. So I wash my hands when I get home. Take precautions. But listen, then believe. Believe. When you drive to work, you need to say, thank you, Lord. Your angels are protecting me. They're going before me. They're making the crooked places straight. Thank you that your angels are protecting my children at school today. Learn to stay in faith instead of fear. Because when we allow fear, we start worrying and we start complaining. That limits God from working in our life. This is why so many people are not seeing God's blessings, God's favor, and even God's protection like they should, because they say the wrong thing. Are you with me? Psalm 103 verse 20 says, bless the Lord, all you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. The Bible says the angels of God heed the voice of God's word. They obey the voice of God's word. They do what God's word says. The Passion Bible says, bless the Lord, all you his angels who listen intently to the voice of his word to do it. Angels are listening for the voice of God's word. They respond to God's word. So when you say what God's word says, the angels go to bring it to pass. Because they hearken to the voice of God. So when you say what God's word says, the angels go to bring it to pass. When you say, the angel of the Lord encamps around me and protects me everywhere I go, the angel hears you say it, and he hearkens to do what God's word says. The words are coming out your mouth. And when you speak in God's word, the angels are going to bring it to pass. Are you following with me so far? When you go around saying, Father, I thank you, your angels are protecting me, your angels are encamped about me, you just gave those angels permission to defend you and to protect you. We would declare the protection of God over our children just about every day. We still do, but especially when they were growing up, we would declare and thank God for the angels that protect them everywhere they go. Amen. Psalm 34 verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Say, the angel of the Lord encamps about me and he delivers me. The Amplified Bible says, those who revere and worship him with awe, and each of them he delivers. When the Bible talks about fearing the Lord, it's not talking about being afraid of God. It's talking about having a reverence and awe. Those who worship him, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who worship and those who serve and those who fear God and protects them. Hello? That's who the angels protect. The contemporary version says, if you honor the Lord, the angel, his angel will protect you. So what if I don't honor the Lord? Will God's angel protect me if I don't honor the Lord? No guarantee of that. God never promised that. Now, I know that the angels protected me when I wasn't serving the Lord. Thank God for his mercy. So I don't want to say God can. But when you are serving God and you honor God and you believe God and you fear the Lord, you can be assured that angels of God are promised to protect you. The Passion Bible says the angel of the Lord stooped down to listen as I prayed, encircling me, empowering me, and showing me how to escape. And he will do this for everyone who fears God. Everyone who fears God, that angel will guide you and protect you. If you want the angel of the Lord to protect you, you must honor the Lord, revere the Lord, worship the Lord, and get in the habit of thanking God every day for his protection. Do it when you send your kids to school. In your imagination, picture these huge, powerful warriors standing right beside them and going with them everywhere that they go. When you go to bed at night, when you go to bed, Father, thank you, your angels are watching over us while we sleep. That'll help you to rest in peace. Even when you're driving on the freeway, just like the president's got a couple of F-16s wherever he goes. I think they go with Air Force One, right? You need to picture a couple of huge angels going before you, guarding you, slowing down this car, moving it a little bit here, moving you a little bit there, keeping you safe, keeping you sound. God said to the Israelites in Exodus 23, verse 20, he said, see, I'm sending an angel before you to protect you on your journey and lead you safely to the place that I prepared for you. I always, when I ride my motorcycle, for sure, I say, thank you, Lord, your angels protect me, beside me, behind me, go before me and protect me from all these people out here on the road. Thank you, Lord, that your angels protect me. I remember how the angel of God protected Jill and I, you know, before we got married. We were still dating. My first car I had was a little Fiat, and we were driving on this four-lane. It was a freeway, but then it was a freeway, and it turned into a, you know, when a freeway turns into a regular street, and you get lights and things like that. So we were stopped at this light, and then we took off, and there were like four lanes of traffic. It was busy, and all of a sudden, a pedestrian stepped out into the traffic. And I'm telling you, all four lanes, and Jill just cried out, Jesus! And all four lanes of traffic, like synchronized swimmers, moved over like this, and then moved over like, I mean, it was unbelievable. All four cars moved together like this, and all four cars moved like that. It was like an angel of God was directing the traffic. A few years ago, I was in L.A. We have got two of our daughters live out there, and I decided I'm going to rent a Harley Davidson, and I'm going to go riding on the PCH. And so I stopped. I was at a light right outside the Ford Theater. They had a show going on. There were people all over. It was a Sunday, but it was busy. And there were like four lanes of traffic, and they were all, I mean, it was cars everywhere. You know, L.A. traffic. And I'm stopped at the light, and I'm going to go left. I've got my indicator on. I'm going to go left over the bridge. I'm going to meet them at Runyon Canyon. We're going to go for a hike or something. And so I'm at the light. I've got my indicator going. And as the light goes green, I go to turn left. A lady comes flying up from behind me, and I'm turning, and she hits me. She hits the back of the bike. And I'm telling you right now, I let go of the handlebars. The bike slid out from under me. It started bouncing down the road. I landed on my feet. I'm running in the traffic. I've got cars here. I'm not kidding. I'm running in the traffic. People who saw it, afterwards, they came, they asked me, because they were watching me. They said, is this a stunt for a movie? Were you making a movie here? No stunt. I had the fire engine. I had the LAPD. I had the CHP. They wanted to check me out. I'm fine. I didn't have a scratch me. I'm convinced an angel of God lifted me off that bike. I got no doubt about it. Joel Osteen tells about how his sister, when she first got a driver's license, she was stopped at a stop sign, and there was a big truck next to her. And when the truck pulled out, she pulled out. But then suddenly the truck slammed on its brakes, and he didn't see there was this big dump truck coming, and she didn't have time to stop. As this truck hit right behind the driver's door, and it smashed her door into pieces. And just a split second later, it would have probably crushed and killed her. I believe that was the angel of the Lord protecting her and guarding her and rescuing her. And someone said, well, Pastor Steve, why didn't the angel stop the truck altogether? Why didn't he keep the accident from happening? Listen, God isn't going to deliver you from every adversity. I'm not saying we're going to have a trouble-free life, but I'm saying if you will stay in faith, God will put a shield around you. He'll put a hedge of protection around your life, and he'll protect you wherever you go. Amen? Amen. Now, I know some people who've gone home to be with the Lord sooner than I would have liked. My youngest sister was killed at 22 in a car accident, and you probably know people who've been taken away in car accidents, and we don't always know why things happen, but let me tell you, I still believe God's word is true. Someone says, well, this happened to so-and-so. Well, maybe so, but it doesn't change. I believe God's word doesn't matter who says what. Doesn't matter what your experiences are. I'm going to believe God's word more than what your experience is. Are you with me? I believe God's word is true. I believe the angels of God protect me, and I encourage you to stay in faith, stay encouraged, thank God every day for his divine protection. Thank him that no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. In Jesus' name, thank him that his angels are guarding you and guarding your family. Because when you belong to Christ, I want you to know there is a bloodline the enemy cannot cross. In the Old Testament, they put the blood on the lintels, and when the angel of death passed by, he had to pass by wherever he saw the blood of the lamb. Well, I want you to know you got the blood of Jesus on you, and the blood of Jesus is on you, family, and the enemy's got no power over you. Amen. The forces of darkness got no power over you. Those that are for you are much greater than those that are against you. And all over this building right now, there are these multitudes of these powerful angelic beings guarding you, protecting you, assisting you, guiding you. Amen. Yeah, I want you to just go out of here with peace. Stop worrying about your future. There's so many times Jesus said, don't worry. Stop worrying about your children. God has commanded his angels to watch over you. Angels are here to protect you, assist you, help you. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to believe that God is guiding me and protecting me and assisting me, because that's what the angels have been assigned to do. Amen. And we don't pray to angels. We don't worship angels. They're simply messengers sent to carry out God's will. But we give all praise and glory to God alone. Amen. But angels hearken to the voice of God. That means they listen and obey what God says. And when you're in a tough situation, you have to learn to speak God's word, because the more you say what God says, the more the angels hearken to bring it to pass. When you speak his word, you activate angels. Are you with me? When you're facing a financial need, instead of saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. You're just going to get deeper and deeper, digging yourself deeper with your mouth. You should be saying, my God, thank you. Lord, you supply all my needs. The angels go to bring the money in. That's what they respond to. Moses knew this. Moses said in Psalm 91, verse 2, Moses wrote Psalm 91. And listen what he said. I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. Say it. I will say of the Lord. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In him I trust. I will say, he is my fortress. He is my refuge. He is my protector. The New Living Bible says, this I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety, my God, I trust him. He will rescue me from every trap and protect me from every deadly disease. The Passion Bible says, say this. The Passion Bible says, say this. God, you my refuge. I trust in you and I'm safe. That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. Say this. Say, the Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my place of safety. I trust him and I'm safe. He will protect me from every deadly disease. Maybe you're about to make a big presentation at work, or maybe some clients and you need God's favor. Don't go around saying, well, I'm so nervous. These people probably won't like me. I'm not a very good speaker. No. When you need God's favor, you need to learn to say, Father, you promised you'd surround me with favor. You said no good thing would you withhold from those who walk uprightly. You said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I want to thank you, Lord, right now. You are opening doors for me that nobody can shut, Lord. When you do that, angels go to work. They respond to God's word. When you speak it, it's just like God saying it. When you send your children to school, you want to activate the angels. You need to say, Father, you promised that when we stay under your shadow, when we trust you, that we wouldn't even dash our foot on a stone. Thank you for protecting my children. Thank you for the angels of God that protect my children. See, that's what activates the angels. That's what they respond to. They respond to God's word. That's why it's so important not to speak negative things over your family or over yourself, because you can often we cancel out what God's trying to do with our own words. Well, Pastor Steve, I never get any good breaks. Oh, I had a friend who prayed for protection. He got ran over by a truck. Just my luck. Probably happened to me too. No, change what you're saying, you old negative thing. You, do you realize angels are listening to you? Angels are listening to you. When they hear that kind of talk, they go sit in their lazy boy. They go take a break because they respond to God's word. That's why all through the day you should speak God's word. We should be saying with our mouths, Father, thank you that you're a shield to me. Thank you that you're fighting my battles for me. Thank you that I'm blessed and I cannot be cursed. I'm above only. I'll never be beneath. When you talk like that, angels perk up. It gets their attention. They say, hey, man, did you hear God's word? We've been commanded to protect, assist, rescue. Let's go to work. See, God's word coming out your mouth, it releases supernatural power. Don't fall into that old trap. Of saying, oh, I'm so worried about my children. There's so much danger at school. I hope they don't fall in with the wrong crowd. No, when you do that, you're activating the negative. The way to activate God's power is to say with your mouth, Lord, I thank you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You said the seed of the righteous will be mighty on the earth. I thank you my children are blessed. I thank you they choose good friends. I thank you they will fulfill their destiny in the name of Jesus. When you talk like that, angels go to work. It activates God's power. I can imagine God saying to them, do you hear what they're saying? I can imagine God saying, make sure their child doesn't run with a wrong crowd. I've got to back up my word. I've got to stand by my promises. So those angels go to work guarding your child. A bad influence is coming down the hallway at school. The angel says, let's move him over a little bit here. Let's speed him up a little bit there. Let's slow him down a little bit here. The angels of God surround your children. Protect them. Guide them. They're constantly at work. I believe, family, it's one of the reasons we don't see more of this is because we're talking the wrong way very often. Some people, you know, they say, well, I got my loved ones over in Afghanistan. It's so dangerous over there. I'm so worried they're not going to make it back. No, you got to stop talking and thinking like that, because when you're tempted to worry and be negative, you need to learn to turn that around and rather say, Lord, Father, I want to thank you that my loved one is in the palm of your hand and you said no one will snatch him away. You said you'd be our shield, our fortress, and our tower of safety. You said the number of our days you would fulfill. So, Father, my trust and my confidence and my hope is in you, the true and the living God. Let me tell you, when you do that, the angels go to work. I want you to have a greater peace today. I want you to quit worrying about everything and just learn to relax and rest and enjoy your life. I heard a mom say, I'm almost afraid to send my children to school. Let me tell you, you've got to get out of that fearful mindset. You've got to know God has you in the palm of his hand. His angels are watching over your children. And it's good to use common sense and good to do what you can. But at some point, you've got to trust God to do what you can't do. I mean, you can wash your hands and wear a mask and do everything you want to do. But at some point, you've got to trust God more than the hand sanitizer. Are you with me? Our attitude should be, Lord, my life is in your hands. I believe because I'm under the shadow of the Almighty, you're protecting our family everywhere we go. The angels of God are protecting us. See, that's all we can do is commit our lives into God's hands and then go out in faith, trusting God is guiding us, God protecting us, knowing that he will do what we cannot do. Like this one lady, a young lady I heard about, she was leaving class one night, it was late, and she was walking to a car in the parking lot, and it was very dark, it was deserted, and suddenly three men stepped out. They'd been hiding behind some cars, and they were about 40 feet away from her, and her heart just froze. I mean, she didn't know what to do, and she wanted to turn and run, but she knew she didn't stand a chance. They were only 40 feet away, so she stood, and she prayed under her breath, and they kept on coming towards her, and even though she was afraid, she said deep down on the inside, she had this peace. Somebody kept telling her everything is going to be okay. She had this peace inside. When those three men got about 10 or 15 feet away from her, suddenly they stopped. Their eyes got real big. Terror came on their face. They started backing up real slowly. Then they turned around and they took off running. She knew God had supernaturally protected her. What she didn't know what had happened. But a few days later, they caught one of those men committing a crime, and they admitted that they were going to harm her. But when they got up close to her, they saw this huge warrior. They described him about 10 feet tall, rippling with muscle, standing beside her. His face was radiating with so much light they could hardly even look at it. He had a sword that was drawn, and he was standing over the girl. She came up to about his waist. It was the angel of God. It was like the angel of God saying, "Come on, I dare you, make my day. Come on, punk. Did you have 5 or 6 rounds? Remember that one? Make my day, punk. Come on, punk. You feel lucky, punk. Let me tell you, you are not alone. You have these powerful warring angels surrounding you wherever you go. Amen. And in our times of danger, when we don't know what to do, we can stay in peace knowing that we have God's supernatural protection. As you, we're glad to have Candace here today. I'll tell you an amazing story about her mother. I'm sure you've heard the story, but as I told you, South Africa, particularly Johannesburg, is very dangerous and crime is rampant. And Pastor Theo and Bev, they have a church in Johannesburg and they have a home. They go there frequently because of the church, and the home where they have, the whole street has a boom gate. So it's like a gated, you can't go past. They've got a boom gate, double gates, armed guards, submachine guns, the whole thing. So funny, when you go into their church in Johannesburg, we took a tour with us, and you go in the front gate, and there's like, they've got 25 guys around with armed submachine guns. How'd you like to go into church and all that? But there's a reason for it, let me tell you. So their street has all got the security. Their house has a 10-foot wall, and on top of the wall is electrified fencing. So one day, Pastor Bev went home from church. She drove home, and her and Pastor Theo were in separate cars, and I think he got delayed, and so she went home by herself. And as she pulled into the house, there were 4 men with AK-47 machine guns in the house. And she just shouted, "Jesus!" And these men took off running. They ran, and they jumped over a 10-foot electrified fence. These 4 men ran from a 5'4" woman. They had AK-47s, and they ran, and they jumped over a 10-foot fence. I wonder why they did that. I have no doubt that they saw the angels of God, and they got so terrified, they ran and jumped over a 10-foot fence, and God protected her. Amen? Mike Francine is with us here today, and I want Mike to come tell you. Come stand up. He was telling us these amazing stories. Come up on stage with me. I don't know if Mike Francine is an international evangelist. He's done over 300 crusades internationally. Over 13 million people have come to Christ. And we were talking, Mike, we were sitting on the couch, and we were talking about some of the amazing stories of how God has protected this man. And I want you to tell the story of in India, what happened at that crusade.
You know, I speak in a lot of churches here in America, but when I'm not overseas, I'm here in America, but the heart of my ministry has always been international, and I've been to 103 different countries. I've done almost 400 international crusades. And the one thing that I'm sure of is, Pastor Steve, that was good stuff. I think you're going to be a good preacher when you grow up. The one thing that I'm sure of is that the gospel is a sure thing.
That's right.
If I had to send, it's not like America where everybody, you know, gospel is open. Some of these countries I go to and the cities I go to, they're not open to the gospel. You go to Pakistan, you go to Indonesia, some of these countries I've been to. And I know this, that if I wasn't sure that the gospel was a sure thing, and I advertise all over the city, bringing the blind, the deaf, and the cripples, and God's going to heal them, when you go overseas, you're going to produce what you advertise. Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't sure, I would sit in my hotel room thinking, dear God, I'd have a nervous breakdown by now if I wasn't sure that the gospel was a sure thing. And so I've been to India 29 times. I've done 44 crusades there. And I was in a place called Nazimabad, and there was a Naxalite stronghold. The Naxalites is a radical sect of the Hindus, and they're the ones, when you hear of churches or trains being burned or people being killed, it's usually the Naxalites. And so I was in Nazimabad. It was a Naxalite stronghold, and the day before we got there, the Naxalites had taken beheaded 6 people. It was on the front page of the headline the first day of our crusade. And so I get the first night of my crusade, and I can't find my interpreter, Prabhakar Rao. And it's like, where's Prabhakar Rao? And he said, he's under the stage. I said, Prabhakar, what are you doing? He said, the Naxalites came and they said that if I interpret for you, they're going to cut my legs off. Well, they just cut six people's heads off the day before. It's not empty threats.
Right.
And they sent word to me, and they said, if you try to preach tonight in this crusade, there's never been a crusade there. They said, if you try to preach tonight in this crusade, we will kill you. And so we get there the first night. Usually we've got 100 or more pastors on the stage. There was nobody on that stage that night. I was flying solo with my interpreter, who I had to pull out from under the stage. And so the first night, we probably got 50,000 there the first night and grew up to over 100,000. And that first night, there was 38 Naxalites with AK-47s all around the stage. They said, if you preach, you'll be dead. So I was by myself.
Can you imagine?
I believe this gospel is a sure thing, and there is divine protection.
You proved it.
And so I went, and I preached like I'd done 1,000 times before. And they're sitting there with AK-47s. It had to have been the angels that did. I mean, because they would have killed me before I said my first word. Preached my message, prayed for the sick. And that night, there was probably 14, 15, 16 little boys and girls, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, that had polio, never walked or stood a day in their lives. That night, at least 14 or 15 of them got healed. They got up and walked. And when those 38 Naxalites with the AK-40s, when they saw those miracles, when they saw those cripples, they put down their guns and they raised their hands to Jesus.
Praise God.
I thank God for
divine
protection.
I love it, man. Tell him about the leprosy. I mean, he can stand it all day. Do you know, we actually believe this stuff. We actually believe that Bible. I don't just do this on Sunday. We actually believe this. Miracles, God, angels, protection. Amen. Tell about the one with the leprosy.
All day. I was at one of the crusades, and as I was leaving the platform, you've got these massive crowds. Everybody wants you to pray for them. And so this guy comes up to me. He's probably 45, 50 years old. And leprosy is very, you know, runs rampant across India still. And it's very highly contagious. And so this guy comes, they got what they call a lungi. It's kind of like just like a sheet they wrap around. And he said, would you pray for me? He says, I've got leprosy. And so he pulled up his lungi, and this leprosy just covered his legs. It's just rotted flesh. So I slapped my hands on there.
Did you have gloves on?
Huh?
Did you put your gloves on?
No, I had.
You didn't put your gloves on?
I forgot my gloves. Before I got them in the U.S. So I slapped my hands, and my crusader said, Mike, that's highly contagious. And so is Jesus. So I slapped my hands on those legs. I said, in the name of Jesus. His flesh was rotting off, just falling off. The next day he comes back, and he grabs me before I get in my car leaving the stage, and he pulls it up, and a brand new baby-like skin all over
his legs.
Divine protection. Amen.
Praise God, Mike. Praise God. How many know the gospel works? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. I will not fear any disease. I will not fear. Man, are you kidding me, Peter? They're going to execute him. He's asleep, and the angel has to come and slap him. Come on, get up right now and bring him out and deliver him. The angels of God surround us. They protect us. We will not fear, family. I want you to stand, and I want us to make this declaration. It's written down on that handout I handed out today. I've got a declaration here that I want you to declare of protection over your life. So can you give that to me, somebody? Can you put it up on the screen for me, somebody? There you go. Whenever you're ready, give me that confession, please. It's in red. It's in red. There you go. Say this. Do we have it on the screen? All righty. Come on, put it up there. Say this. Say, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my place of safety. He is my God. I trust in Him. Surely He will deliver me from every trap, protect me from every deadly disease. I do not fear, I do not dread any disease, even if thousands are dying around me. I will remain unharmed. These evils will not touch me. Because His angels surround me, protect me wherever I go, because I trust in His name. They hold me up with their hands. I won't even hurt my foot on a stone. God is with me in trouble. He delivers me. He sets me in a high place, safe and secure, with long life. He satisfies me. I enjoy the fullness of His salvation in Jesus' name. Come on, give God thanks and praise today. If you believe that, if you believe it, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for protecting us, Lord, everywhere we go. I want you to bow your head. Would you do that, please? I want to ask you to just close your eyes. Just bow your head, close your eyes. I want to pray right now. If there's anyone here this morning, if you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and the Lord, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I'm not sure. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I am asking you is, are you sure? Can you say that you know without any doubt that if you died today, you know you'd go to heaven? Because let me tell you the good news. You can be sure of that. You can leave here today knowing that all is right, all is well between you and God, knowing that every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it's forgiven, it's washed away. And you can leave here today knowing for sure that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. Heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come out and stand at the front. But right where you are standing, while we have our heads bowed, our eyes closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer you're about to pray, because I want to make sure. When I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be sure that all is right, all is well between me and God. I want to know the angels of God are protecting me everywhere that I go. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer, I want you quickly right now to just lift your hand up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you are included in this prayer this morning. God bless you. Thank you. Just lift it up high. Here's my hand, Pastor Steve. Pray for me. Pray for me. All right. Praise God. I didn't see anybody raise their hands up. So I trust everybody in here. You know the Lord. You're safe with God. Now it's our job. What is our job? Go out there and tell other people. Rescue other people. Invite other people. Tell the good news to other people. Amen. Make sure when you leave today in a few minutes, we're not quite finished, but make sure to take some of these invitation cards. I keep them with me. And I mean, last night we went to a birthday party, Gigi's birthday party, and we were introduced to some people. We started talking, next thing, talking about church, next thing, I'm handing out invites. I take them everywhere I go. You never know. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Be seated for a moment. Be seated for a moment, and we're going to give to the Lord, and then we're going to close.
Yeah, this is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to support the kingdom of God with our finances. And you know, that's such a timely message, because fear is rampant when you hear bad news, right? And I just like to, as we receive the offering, I always like to read a scripture, because we base whatever we do, not just because somebody suggests it, but because the Word of God says so, right? And the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 7, "Blessed are those who put their trust in the Lord and who have made the Lord their hope and confidence." So the Bible says that we are blessed when we put our trust in God. And it goes on, it contrasts those who trust themselves. And you know, when times like this happen, like Pastor Steve says, right now you have an unexpected event in the earth. And immediately the stock market crashes. It just slumps drastically. You know, people get afraid. They get worried. Okay, so maybe all the restaurants close. I don't have a job. Maybe the cruise lines aren't going for, you know, Disneyland closes. All of those things. It brings fear if your trust is in your money. But, you know, I was saying it to someone, and it reminded me of Kathy Battle here somewhere. You know, her company, she'd been with her company like 20-something years, and they did some reshuffling, and she was out of a job. And you know what we reminded her is that her job is not her source. Her money is not her source, that God remains her source. And you know, within, you know, it's kind of hard. hard to do because you get fearful because you don't realize you've got to kind of identify who am I trusting? What am I putting my trust in? And she reminded herself that she trusts God as her source. And like, I think it was within 2 weeks, she had a new job. God had provided for her. So I just want to encourage you, whenever there are things that happen to make you fearful, you cannot trust uncertain riches. That's what the Bible calls it. I just read a verse from 1 Timothy 6. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches. It means you can't depend on them because they can be here today and gone tomorrow, right? But in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy, let them do good, let them be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. Do you know that right now as we come to tithe and to give into the kingdom of God, it is an indicator that our trust is in God and not our money. Because if you're trusting in your money, you're going to say, I better hold on to this. I better put it away for a rainy day because you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. But when your trust is in God, you can give freely because you say, Lord, no matter what happens, you're my source. You're my provider. Amen. And I'll just read one more verse from I started off where it says, trust God. It says, when you do trust God, they are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by heat or worried by long months of drought. Doesn't say you won't ever have heat or drought, right? But you're not bothered by it because your roots run deep and that you're tapping into the provider, the ultimate provider, right? Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. So just want to encourage you, family, you can trust God. You can trust God. And as we come to give, it's a reminder about different ways to give, and particularly online giving. You know, we've set up this whole software program through Secure Give, and that's what it is. And it's very convenient. And I tell you what, today, when so many of both our son's church, our daughter's church in California, they are all doing everything online. And if they didn't have online giving, their church would be in trouble, right? So I just want to ask you to familiarize yourself with online giving. It is so simple. The first time you do it, whether it be with a text, there's the text number. The first time you do it, whether it be at the kiosk or whether you do it on our app or online, the first time you do it, you'll have to enter some your name and what have you, a card to use. But after that, it's as simple as just going right in, putting in what you want to give. I mean, if you text like that, if I was tithing $100, I would just write 100. And it would say, do you want to give 100? And I'd put Y or N. If I put Y, it just automatically works. So just to let you know, it's a convenience, but it's also a blessing to the house of God. So familiarize yourself with that, and we thank you for doing that. Praise God. Do you want to come up and just pray over this and close us out?
Do it.
Go ahead.
Let's do it, man. You ready?
Ushers, thank you.
You ready to sing us out? Let's pray. Won't you hold your envelope in your hand? We're going to pray over it. The Bible says that when you honor the Lord with the tithe, that He opens the windows of heaven and He pours blessing upon you, and He also promises to protect you from the devourer. Amen. So say this. Say, Father, I trust in you. The reason I can tithe, the reason I can give is because my trust is not in my money. My trust is in you, Lord. And I thank you. You are my source. You are my protector. You are my provider. Thank you, Lord, for the windows of heaven open above my life. Thank you for pouring blessings upon me, for opening doors that nobody can shut, for giving me supernatural favor, for guiding my footsteps, Lord, for meeting every need in my life, and protecting me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ushers, are you ready? Did they already pass the basket? Where you at, ushers? Go ahead, pass those baskets. I want to remind you, every Tuesday we have prayer at 6 o'clock. Now, when I mentioned it earlier, you got real quiet. Let me tell you right now, you need to come and pray. You need to know how to pray. We need to pray as a church. Prayer is the life of the believer. Even if you don't come every week, you need to make an effort at least once a month. Come and pray with your family, the church. Pray with the body of Christ on Tuesday from 6 until 7. And then don't forget, we're only 3 weeks from Easter. We're having a Good Friday service on April 10th at 7 p.m. And we're going to have Easter Sunday. We're going to have a big Easter egg hunt for the kids. I'm going to preach two different sermons. Friday and Sunday will be two different messages. Friday we remember Jesus' crucifixion, and Sunday we remember his resurrection. Amen. So I hope you'll join us. Invite someone to Easter. Come on, stand with us as we go. Let's declare it. The shout of the King is among us.
Shout of the King is among us. God lives here in our praises. Shout.